this is the scandal of the cross, part three. The scandal of the cross, part three. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13. And Matthew chapter 13 is the beginning of the parables. It's the parable about the sower and the seed and the soils. But I want to zero in on one area here where the seed fell. So I'm just going to kind of skip down here to verse 5. Matthew chapter 13, verse 5. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. That word forthwith right there is immediately. Okay? That's what it means. Other translation. So it would be some fell on stony places, they didn't have much earth, and immediately they sprung up. Because they had no deepness, no depth. And then skip down to verse 20. Now Jesus is explaining to them the parable. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth. That word anon, immediately. So it says, he received the seed in stony places, the same as he that hears the word and immediately with joy receives it. I heard a good message today, brother. Woo, I received it. Yay. Good preaching today. Yet hath he not rooted himself, dureth for a while when tribulation, persecution arises because of the word. By and by, he is scandalon, offended, that word. Offended, same word we've been looking at. Scandalon, scandalized. You see what I mean? He received a good message today. Tribulation, persecution comes. He's offended. I'm out of here. Taking Adam, going to another church. He gets angry. He doesn't wait for the offense. Now what have we been talking about? He that falls on the rock will be broken. He that the rock falls on will be ground to powder. He doesn't let the offense break him. I mean, what do we do when the offense comes? We usually, you know, we get down and we, I can do it, I can do it. That's what we're taught. We got t-shirts that says what? Just do it. We wear t-shirts, just do it. So when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I mean, that's the motto of the world. It's a scandal to say, let the cross wipe you out. See, I don't want that. I received the word, the cross, I'm forgiven. Yay! Woo! I got it all. I'm going to heaven. As soon as persecution comes and tribulation, I'm out of here. I'm not going to let the scandal, the offense, shake me. I'm not going to let it break me. I'm not going to let it mold me. I mean, isn't that one of the things of potters in the potter's hands? What does a potter do? The potter takes the dust and he molds it. So here I am, a certain vessel. And what happens to that vessel? That vessel has to be broken, ground to powder, and then put back into the hands of the potter on the potter's wheel. And you see, Jesus, I mean, he's talking about this scandal of the cross all the way back over in the potter's wheel. We just didn't put it two together. We don't want to be broken. I'm a pretty vessel. You with me here so far? This parable here, it's about a sower that goes to sow seed. The seed is what? The seed is the word. And the Father is the sower who sows into the world, God the Son. Jesus, who is the Word of God. Early Christians couldn't go to Walmarts and buy a Bible. And when I'm saying early Christians, I'm not meaning 1960s Christians. Okay? To an early Christian, the Word was Jesus. It's become the Bible in our day and age. You know, I'm going with my Bible, and all we do is beat people over the head with it. But to the early Christians, the Word was Jesus, the person himself. So the Father sows his Son into the world. And the Word here is described as the seed, the Word of the Kingdom, the seed. I mean, we've talked about this seed. In Abraham's seed, what? All nations will be blessed. He didn't mean seeds as many, seeds as of one. So we're talking about the person of Jesus Christ. Now, if you think about a seed, I don't know if you guys ever planted seeds before, but a little old, tiny, insignificant seed. Sometimes you get seeds in your hand and they're no more bigger than dust. They're tiny, insignificant. They get lost when you sow them. I mean, you go out to a field, sow seeds, and you can't go back and find the seed. It gets lost. It was sown. It's lost. Where's the seed at? I mean, we can have no proof that the seed was even sown until something starts to come up, can we? We can't go back and find the seed. That's how little, tiny, insignificant it is. That seed, that tiny seed is out of proportion to what comes out of it. You know, I go and we was up there yesterday at Tracy's grandma's, and there's an oak tree up there. I mean, that thing's that big around. Do you reckon it started out that way? That thing started out from a little old acre about that big. So what was in that seed was way out of proportion to the seed. I mean, if I put the acorn on the scales over here and the oak tree on this side, I mean, there is no comparison. I mean, this oak tree is this big, been there 200 years. Y'all with me? I mean, can you see how much out of proportion it is? I mean, that's part of the scandal, isn't it? The Father sows the Son. I mean, how did he do all that? The Father sows the seed in a tiny, in an insignificant teenage peasant girl named Mary. I mean, who is Mary? Y'all, if she hadn't brought forth Jesus, y'all never heard of her. I mean, what a way for God to come to the earth. I mean, how would you, if, you know, there's a guy, I just always think of these things. There's a guy named Michael Buffer. I don't know if any of you sports fans around out there know who Michael Buffer is. The guy gets paid millions of dollars a year to announce fighters. He stands up there and says, "Let's get ready to rumble," because he's introducing this guy on this side, weighing in 214 pounds from Tucson, Arizona. How did God come to the earth? I mean, a fighter gets a better introduction than God. I mean, are you with me? I mean, we have people who go out in front of other people and they get on stage, and now I would like to introduce to you our number one act, recording superstar, Derek White. You with me? God comes to the earth. I mean, you guys ever watch movies about Greek mythology, and how does Zeus and how do these guys, lightning and thunderbolts and the clouds roll back? I mean, when the president's inaugurated, we got TV cameras, crowds around, news, I mean, red carpet rolled out, new, the TVs cover it all. And here's the God of all glory, born of a peasant virgin in a manger? Not even in Jerusalem? I mean, here I come face to face with a God that hides himself. The seed is hid. You can't find the seed, I'm telling you. They knew he was coming and he was born, and then go see if you can find him. Tell him, "I want to come worship." Well, I don't know where he is. That cat's gone. It wasn't long. He was plumb out of Dodge. He went down to Egypt. Where's the seed? I don't know. He was here. Gone down to Egypt now. Y'all with me? I mean, this is a scandal. You would have think they would have gathered around and built walls and, you know, here he comes. I mean, here he is. We know he's the son of a carpenter. I would have had to, you know, the parable should have been the carpenter comes with a giant hammer, a Thor hammer and a giant nail to hammer into the kingdom, right? You will get it. Pow, pow. That's what they thought. Son of David, a king is going to rise up mighty and cast down the Roman rule. Hammer the kingdom in. Still think that today. If you throw this seed into the earth, it disappears. This seed dies. It's gone. Then when it dies, here comes the fruit. So here's Jesus, sown into our world, sown into our hearts. He dies, rises again. I'm talking natural here. Jesus is sown into the world. He dies. He rises again. Then what? He vanishes. I mean, you would have thought somebody risen from the dead. I mean, 500 sounds like a lot of people, but it's not a lot of people when you think of the scope of things. 500 people, he's out of here. But this is the journey of God into our world. Comes here a little while, sown into the world, dies, rises again, vanishes. But in this parable, it says the Father sows the seed, and that seed is the Word. And we know the Word is the person. And this is, he points this out, and this is so crucial right here, that the gospel, it's more than just good news, guys. The gospel is the person himself. It's not news about, it is the person himself. And I got to emphasize this, we're forever moving away from that. We go away by default into philosophy. We go away by default into doctrine. We forget that doctrine is explanation of the person. So what do? Instead, we learn rules. We learn principles. And we forget, and this is so much apart. We forget that those rules and principles will never, ever, ever work apart from the person. See, that's the point that I come to when I talk to these other brethren. They said, hey, you got to go love. Well, that's a good rule. Jesus said, you should love your neighbor as yourself. That's a good rule to live by. But let me tell you, you can't do it on philosophy, right? But you see, if I separate the word from the person, now I'm back to a doctrine. And now I'm trying to go out here and live those rules, those philosophies. Maybe good philosophies. Be good to each other. It's good philosophy. But I can't do it apart from the Holy Spirit. You see what I mean? So it is important that the Father sows the Son. We got to hear that. The Father sows the Son. We could do none of that stuff without the person, without the life and person of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is he then that is sown into our lives. He's sown in this world, sown in our lives. How? By the Holy Spirit. The very one is sown in our lives, the one who is life out of death, the one who himself. This is why it's so important to understand forgiveness is not something that you have. Forgiveness is who he is. That's the reason, guys, we talked about this one time. You know, everybody wanted to tell you what about blasphemy. All sins forgiven except blasphemy, and blasphemy is when you won't receive him. I mean, you got your hands full of unforgiveness. I mean, so how could you? No, we can talk about that more later, but the message is the person himself. Anything else is just a lecture. If it's not Jesus coming through, if it's not Jesus being sown, it is just a lecture. That's the mystery of preaching. That the message is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The person of the Lord walks into your life in the mystery of preaching. Now that's the sacramental side of preaching, that God has humbled Himself to walk into our lives using a preacher. How can they hear without a preacher? I mean, Paul wrote that in Romans. How can they hear without a preacher? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So God has humbled Himself and uses the voice box of me to get the word sown into your life. And listen, guys, He's used preachers in my life. Some of them I don't even like now, but at the time brought life to me. He used their vocal cords and their words to sow Jesus into my life. So right, the words that I'm speaking to you now, they are life. And it is the person of Jesus being sown into your life. That's the mystery of preaching. And you know what, guys? There'll be things that'll be said in these meetings that might take 20 years to come back around. But you know what? The seed's been sown. The seed's been sown. God uses human words, human voice. So this is not a lecture hall. You with me? This is where we actually encounter the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I don't know if you believe that or not. Maybe more people would be excited. They just think they're going to church, but this is the place when we gather out to actually encounter the person of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself.
Amen.
Do you really believe that? I'm telling you, we are the body of, and when we gather out, we're there, and the presence and life of Christ is there. God, we get so busy doing that thing, we don't really believe it. Why? Because our whole life is full of feelings. I'll get there in a few minutes. Because I'm talking to you about stony ground, and the word has no root, and when it comes up, and we have joy, but as soon as persecution and tribulation come, I'm out of here. We don't let the word, we don't let that offense come in and break us. It says in the scriptures that the early disciples, the apostles, they went about preaching Jesus. I don't know if you ever thought about that before, but they didn't go about preaching about Jesus. They preached Jesus. There is a difference in talking about Jesus and preaching Jesus. They didn't go around giving lectures. Debates. They preach Jesus. The seed is the word of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And to me, brothers and sisters, it's exciting. Because all of these things I told you about early can come on us and flat wire you out and break you down. And you can get in much anxiety and worry. I mean, how many Christians live a life of joy? No, they don't live a life of joy. They don't really believe this because joy to them is just like the world. They don't see a difference here. So joy is fishing. Joy is doing everything else. Well, I guess I'll go to church. I need to. You know how many people said that? I need to. But what if the newspaper headline read, Jesus Christ will be at Rhythms of Grace Community Fellowship Sunday at 11. And if people really believe that, how many people do you think show up? My God, you couldn't get them out of here. But see, we don't really believe that. But let me tell you something. It is a true statement. Sunday at 11 o'clock, Rhythms of Grace Community Fellowship at Cedar Bluff, Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus in the house. You can put it headline newspapers. You can put it on CNN. It's the truth. Jesus in the house. You with me? But we don't really believe that because I don't see him. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see Jesus. And I'm telling you what, I see Jesus right now and I'm looking right at him. He's in you and you're in him. That's exciting.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but it's exciting. When the world comes at me, I know greater is he that is in me, that is in us, than he that is in the world. Bring it on. Y'all with me here? Y'all stay with me? Right. So we have here a living, we have here in the going forth of the word, using an old, the foolishness of preaching, the scripture says, the foolishness of preaching. You know what? That I'm overqualified. I'm qualified to be a fool, qualified in the foolishness of the things I say, but in the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What happened here? We have a picture of the Lazarus. Remember Lazarus? He's dead. 4 days dead. He stinks. But in the preaching, in the foolishness of preaching, the word goes forth and reaches the Lazarus that are sitting there in the pew. And they hear a word that says, Lazarus. One time, Josh, I heard a word, little Jim, come forth. And I rose up out of spiritual death and came forth through the foolishness of preaching. You with me? That's what happened to you. Through the foolishness of preaching, you heard a word that said, Denise, come forth. And you knew that word was from another place. It might have been a preacher saying it, but you knew that word had depth to it. You knew that word was life. And you responded just like Lazarus did. And you came forth right up out of spiritual death. And then this thing looks back at me and he says, Now y'all church, loose him and let him go. Oh, that's where we kind of dropped the ball a little bit on that one, didn't we? We thought, here comes Denise, she got free. Well, wait a minute, let's wrap her back up and let's set her as a mummy in the corner. Yes. It's more than just a message, it's the person of the message. Paul says, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a scandal, a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. That word foolishness means you'd have to be a moron to believe it. How many of these great Greek philosophers? Now let me go get this for you. Because man, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, start at verse 3. And I was with you in weakness, this is Paul talking to the Corinthian church, and in fear, much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul says, I came to you in weakness and fear. I mean, I was scared. I couldn't put two sentences together. I didn't come to you as a great orator of Greek philosophy. I mean, I got to go up. I mean, y'all realize that Bill Clinton was a great speech giver. Man, he could turn a crowd. There are people. So Paul, here, this guy like Moses, a stutterer. I'm not a good speech giver. I don't care if you're a good speech giver. You're going in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. Paul said, I didn't come into you with this great Greek philosophy. I mean, you guys sat around and debating. That was your whole life. I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration. That, and here comes Paul with the craziest message. It's almost like Isaiah. Isaiah, what are you going to preach on this morning? I got a good message this morning. A virgin's going to have a baby. Isaiah, you've been in the wine too long. Tell us something else. Tell us how the Assyrian army is going to be crushed. I can't. God gave me this message. A virgin's going to have, a virgin's going to have a baby. Paul comes to him and says, guys, I got a message for you. The King of glory came, born of a virgin, and was crucified, hung naked on the cross, and died. What? What kind of message is that? That's a scandal. I don't want to hear that. Tell me about the Son of David. You see, Paul said, I came to you with the craziest message, only gave that you're ever going to hear. The Son of God hung naked on a cross and died and was crucified by evil men and said, we won't have him to rule over us. That's the craziest message I've ever heard. Who wants to follow that? But this word demonstration here, it was a word coined by, it was coined in Corinth. It was coined by the orators, these great speakers, these great philosophers, who presented the material. I want you to understand. I would, you know, we have the thinking man. Y'all know. I mean, that's Greek philosophy. I think, therefore I am. You know, I think, therefore you're an idiot. Really, is what it should be. I think, therefore you're an idiot. Because you don't have a clue. Because I hear this thing here comes up against all. It's not even entered into that mind. But yet we have the mind of Christ. So these great thinkers would think on something and they would come and present the material. Well, these other Greek thinkers would come and present their material. So they would have these giant debates. And the word demonstration here was when I had presented my material and left you no more room. In other words, I've been to the debate. I've won. You see, I didn't leave you grounds to come back on. I have come in demonstration and you got to go back to the drawing board. Right, so to speak. That was the part of the word demonstration was that part of the speech where you've nailed it, where you've got them. Backed them into the corner. Bam, there they are. And in their great schools of debate, they taught the art of demonstration. See, we always taught that he come with demonstration of spirit and power. That meant he yelled and preaching. He yelled and jumped up and down, whatever it was to demonstrate power, right? That ain't what Paul's talking about. It's not what Paul was talking about. These people, these Greek philosophers, they were taught the art of demonstration. That is, he says, I'll teach you how to say the words, to manipulate the crowd so that you've got them, so that you've won the debate. Paul says, I came to you without these oratory skills. I wasn't schooled in the art of debate. I had no training. As a matter of fact, you laughed at the message. But the message was in demonstration of the Holy Spirit. You found you had no argument left because you ended up meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because he's talking to the church here. And I don't know if you know this, but these apostles always had their preaching line backwards. I mean, you would think you would start at the virgin birth, but when they introduced Jesus, they introduced the living Jesus. The living, ascended, risen King of Kings. Oh, yeah, and he died and rose again and was born of a virgin. But you see, they always start. They don't start over here. They start here and work backwards. Because if I'm going to introduce you to somebody, that somebody's got to be there. It's sort of a prerequisite. You know, they always begin with the living Jesus. Jesus who rose up out of death. Jesus who was life out of death. Life himself. Jesus was sown into the world in the incarnation. He's sown into our lives by the Holy Spirit. And I told you before, as I look at you, you believers, and I figured you're believers because ain't no other crazy people would show up to church on a 3-day weekend. Y'all would be out doing something better. So y'all got to be believers. So I'm looking at people who are filled with the living presence of Jesus Christ right this very minute. You may not feel it. Seat might be hurting your butt. I don't know. But you are filled with a living Jesus.
Yes,
right now, I'm looking at you. I see it. You don't know it. That's why I'm up here. I want to wake you up. You know, I'm just like, Paul, wake up, church. Wake up. Wake up under righteousness. Wake up and realize who you are. You don't know who you are. Why? Because the seed goes in stony ground. doesn't have much root. Do you ever think about the totality of Jesus, the person, the power living in you? The potential of the resurrection life of Jesus, the potential of that. And remember, just in that little old acorn, a daggone oak tree that's that big around. Think of the potential. Now, this ain't a stinking acorn. This is Jesus. Think of the potential that is in you. Do you ever think of that? My God, you don't think of that. We have no idea. If we did, we wouldn't worry no more. We'd walk around rejoicing.
That's right.
Oh, God, I got to go to work. I got a long day. I'm so tired. And I cut myself shaving. Oh, yeah, it just goes on and on. Oh, right? The potential. Life. Potential resurrection life fills us, and that life multiplies Himself in us and through us. If the seed abides alone, if it doesn't die, it just abides alone. It's a, but if it dies, what to do? Brings forth much. Jesus multiplied Himself in you and through you. You bear fruit, which is what the multiplication of Jesus. And it's all in what? The character of love. That he's there, he's in me, and I'm in him. For to me to live is Christ. Do you believe that? For to me to live is Christ. I go to work tomorrow in Christ. I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. The Christian life is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the results of His life in me. He's the vine, we're the branches. What's He say? That you might bear much fruit? He's the seed that's been sown in us. And here's something else, guys. I don't add nothing to the seed. I don't add nothing. What's He say? Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. Is that how it goes? The Lord gave the increase. I'm sowing the seed right now. I'm sowing the seed. Not seeds, I'm sowing the seed. The living person of Jesus Christ. We'll water it a little bit. The Lord gives the increase. The seed here is completed in Himself. Its potential of life is there. And the seed is its own potential. It contains its own life. I don't have to put Miracle-Gro on it. There's no technique I got to do to apply it. You see what I mean? There's no help. I just let the seed be. See what happens. Christ is sown in you by the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. Could you imagine the seed that got sown into me through the Primitive Baptist 30-some years ago? Here I am. I ain't talking about doctrines and all this other stuff. The Word got in there, and the Word got in there, and it did its thing. And you know what, guys? When I was in Indiana, nobody helped me, but Jesus did. I didn't have nobody to talk, but Jesus was there. Because the seed don't need help. My God, we hinder the seed. We do everything to try to hurt the seed. The seed don't just sow the Word. The Father sowed the Word. Reckless, sow the Word. Reckless, I'm just sowing the Word. I put it on the internet, I got podcasts, I send it out in email. I'm just sowing the Word. Just let it go. He lives in us. So we got to stop being filled with religious anxiety, stupid anxiety, worry. Do we believe He that began a good work in you will complete it? Do we really believe that? Well, Jesus, I wish you would hurry up. I'm telling you what, this work that He has begun in you is going to take more than a week. You were a little more messed up than a week. As a matter of fact, this work that He began in you, I don't believe He'll ever stop. I don't believe I'll get to the point one day and say, "Woo, done. Got it all." I'll be learning of Him for eternity.
Yes.
Yeah, that's just me. And every time I think I've got it, there's some other nastiness that he brings up in me. And he always does it through somebody else. I mean, is that the way it works with you? I mean, I could be having a good day. And they showed up. Lord, why did you allow them into my life? I don't even know who they are. They still tick me off. Here we go again. I mean, you can't help him. How can you help life? He who is life out of death. How can you add to that? You just receive it. He's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's putting in you desires you didn't have before. I mean, I didn't have any desire to come up here and preach the gospel. That was the last thing on my agenda. I mean, the last thing on my agenda was preaching to God. Right above that was going to church. There's a lot of other stuff I'd like to be doing. But he changed my desire. You know, he changed. He worked something in me. So now I don't get up and say, well, I've got to go to church. I look forward to it. I look forward to it. It's exciting to me. But here we are in this parable. I forgot this parable. See, you went the sower sowed the seed. Some seed fell on stony ground. Immediately it comes up with joy, receives it with joy, and persecution, tribulation comes. Let's go. So guys, I've just told you there's nothing you can do to help the seed, but there is things you can do to hinder it. That's what we're going to talk about. You can sure hinder it. I know in your Bible right up there at the top of the page, it'll tell you the parable of the sower. It's not the parable of the sower. I don't know why they want to make those things up anyway. It's the parable of the soils. There wasn't nothing wrong with the sower. Wasn't nothing wrong with the seed. But what we got to talk about is the condition of the soil. Because some types of the soil hinder the growth of the seed. There's one type of soil here that we haven't read about, but it's good soil. What's it do? It hears, it understands, brings forth fruit. But this soil, I gotta go back over here to Matthew here. But this soil, stony places, it hindered the seed. Why? Look. But he that receiveth, I'm in Matthew 13:20. He that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and immediately with joy receiveth. He hears the word, and anon immediately receives it with joy. But here comes affliction, here comes persecution, tribulation. He's offended, he's scandalized, and he goes home, he quits. Don't want no more to do with it. Why is it so important to use the word anon? Why is it so important to use this word immediately here? Because if it's immediately, this guy that received it with joy, he didn't have time to think this thing through. You guys ever do something you didn't have time to think it through? And a few years later, you thought, I wish I would have had a little more time to think this through. That was pretty stupid. I always say, you know, I mean, this is just side notes. You know how many people are in debt because they didn't think this thing through? Man, I got to have that car. Man, if I get that car, that'll be the greatest thing. I want it. Here, sign the papers. Credit's good. Sign the papers. 4 years later, making that second payment, I wished I would have thought this through. I'm drowning. You know what I mean? Immediately, he receives it with joy. He doesn't think it through. The conclusions of the gospel, he doesn't pay no attention to that. He doesn't allow this message, the scandal of the cross, to percolate in him. The Bereans did. Remember, they were the ones with honor. They went home and let it percolate. They were more honorable. They went home and searched the scriptures. I got to go see if what Patty said today is true. I'm going to just wait a minute before I receive. I got to go home. I got to check this thing out. We don't do that. Today, people reading the Bible is the last thing people do. We don't want to read the stinking Bible. Who cares? Don't understand it anyway, Kathy. Don't understand it. I ain't going to read it. I just received it. I felt good today. Woo! That was a good message. Somebody pulled out in front of me. Heck with them stupid. I ain't going back to church no more. It ticked me off. Right? That's where we're at. So he doesn't let the message percolate. He doesn't allow himself to be saturated by the whole message of the gospel. You know what's saturated? I think of a picture of a sponge. You guys ever have a sponge like you wash your car with? Well, you let that sponge dry out. That thing's hard as a rock. I can go up to that sponge, Kathy, and take a bucket of water and pour it on that sponge, and it bounces off like it's hitting a rock. But I got to put the sponge down into the water and into the bucket of water, and then it'll start to become pliable, and eventually it'll become where it soaks up the water. So this guy, immediately, he doesn't let the gospel go in and percolate and let it saturate in his whole being. He's stony ground. Stony ground, he ain't letting it come in and saturate. Right? What's the Spirit? I'll give you a heart of flesh. Break up the stony hot ground, the stony heart, the fallow ground. So many references here that Jesus is using. But see, this guy ain't going to let his stony heart be broken up. But I mean, what are we talking about? The cross, the scandal, the rock that breaks us. I ain't going to let it break me.
Right.
You with me here? I ain't going to let it break me. He never allows this message, the scandal of the cross, to challenge his whole life, to challenge his motives. I mean, when I'm talking about motives, why'd you get up this morning? Something motivates you. He didn't let this thing challenge him. Immediately, it's too fast. And see, he can't, he don't have time to do all that. I received it with joy. So what it means is this guy here in this parable, it means it was just a surface response. It never made it to the heart of his being. That is, when I say that is that this guy here, the stony heart, the stony ground, he failed to see what union with Christ meant in terms of relationship that he would then have with the world. Because being united to Christ is going to change my relationship with the world. Okay? We don't really believe that. We think, hey, I can have my cake and eat it too. I can go to church and then be a part of the world too. This is great. This is great. Yay, great joy. Tribulation came. He said, I don't like it. Y'all with me so far? Which what this really means is that there was no true repentance. So what is repentance? Let me just go over here real quick. Repentance, he's not saying that I did something wrong in 85 and I got to stop and, I did something wrong. Repentance is coming to the heart of the matter. Hear me here. What I'm saying in repentance is that my whole life, my very world is wrong. My foundation is wrong. My goals are wrong. The meaning of my life is wrong. I am wrong. You see, there's some depth to this repentance. It means everything is wrong. It means I am wrong. The goals, every foundation, everything is wrong. You know, metanoia, that word, that means to change the mind. Paul talks about the renewing of the mind. So this whole thing I'm talking about here is a mental process. Yeah, you've been saved, but has your mind been saved? Have you let the gospel penetrate your mind? Today we leave the mind out of it. When I say leave the mind out of it, it's all about feelings. I feel good. I feel. Nothing wrong with feelings, but we better when the feeling goes away. When the feeling goes away, I'm being persecuted, I quit. I go home. Go find me another church. Are you with me? So churches, people who are all about feeling, stony ground. I told you this is a scandal. I told you it's going to be offensive. So repentance here, guys, it's a mind matter. I think this thing through. I let my life be impacted by the gospel. I mean, what is it? What is it going to mean to believe this is true? I mean, we talk about the world. I mean, what is the world? Is it movies? I mean, that's what we were taught. The world is movies, ball games, makeup. Right? Jewelry. Describing the world is hard to put your finger on. We used to call people like that, trying to pin somebody down. You guys ever know anybody like that? It's never their fault, never do anything wrong. I call them the mercury men. You know what mercury is? Mercury is what's in a thermometer. You put mercury on the table and try to put your finger on it. You just can't. That daggone stuff will roll out from under you, and you put your finger over here, and it'll roll this way, put your finger over here, it'll roll that way. Mercury men. So it's hard to put your finger on what the world is. But it's a mass of ideas, philosophy, and yeah, it includes books and movies and all kinds of stuff like that. Do you realize that movies are evangelical? What I'm saying is every movie, I don't care if you're watching Kung Fu Fighter or The Green Book, it's the producer and editor giving you his evangelical description of what he views life to be. Every newspaper article you read is evangelical. It is that editor giving you his view. CNN, it's the producers giving you their view of what they see life to be. It's evangelical. I'm not scared of it. You see what I mean? I don't feel dirty. The world is everything they talk about at work. And when I say that, they talk about everything at work. They interpret life as if there's no God. They go to work and they think, oh God, this company may shut down. They're going to close the railroad down. I mean, I hear it everywhere. They're going to shut this line down. They're going to short line. I don't know what we're going to do. Guys, I got hired on the railroad, and I was so glad to get hired on the railroad. And they hired me, and they sent me to Atlanta, and I went down there for 8 weeks, and then they put me out on the gangs. When I got out on the gangs, you know the first thing they said? You won't be here long. That was almost 30 years ago. You won't be here long. They hired you. They're going to lay y'all off. Y'all never see Christmas. They're going to lay y'all off. And 28 and some odd years later, my son Stevie got hired on a railroad. And I told him what they would tell him. And you know what happened? Susie went to Atlanta, came on the railroad. You won't be here long. You'll never make Christmas. I said, you know what, son? Maybe I'll make Christmas. Maybe I won't. God's in charge. There he is. I mean, what are you going to do? So I don't get all caught up in the anxiety and worry that all of them go through. They talk about life as if there's no God. And the thing is, the world, it changes. There's fads, there's fashions. I mean, it's like a Hydra monster. You cut one head off, four more grow back. Gets a new head. So what is the world in a nutshell? It's the latest embodiment of the great lie. What is the great lie? You'll be as God, independent of God. That's the world. And you know, as a person outside of Christ, that world was my home environment. That used to be where I lived. All my goals, all my expectations were all in accord with the world. All my views of success was all in accord with that world. Everything. Now can you see that we still try to view success? We try to view everything from this view. Today, I mean, you to be a successful church, you got to have the biggest one, 14,000 people. You got to have two jets, and then we call you successful. What about in China when you were preaching the gospel and you spent 8 years in jail? So I guess the China guy is a failure. I don't think so. I don't think so. We can in no way equate that success to what the world sees. Are you with me? But the whole world, they taught me, and I was once a part of that. I believed that I could make it. I believed that I could do it. I believe if I tried hard enough, I could do it. I could do it independently of God. And guys, that world is around us like a thick fog. It comes in everywhere like a thick fog. And that world, I'm telling you, is the enemy of God. And it's in the embrace of the wicked one. Having little children, you're of your father, the devil. You're of your father, the lie. He was a liar from the beginning. It's in the embrace of the wicked one. So repentance, my world I'm a part of, which Paul says we all had our conversation, is wrong. And that whole world system is doomed. It's cursed. It's damned, if you will. I'm telling you the truth. So I repent. My goals are wrong. My world is wrong. My life is wrong. I'm wrong. And I agree with God that the sins of death is upon me. You see, when I begin to see that, I agree with God. Death is upon me. I'm wrong. I'm changing my mind. See, it's the parable of the two houses. One house built on the sand, one built on the rock. The house that's built on the sand, you can put new windows in, new doors, put a new roof on, rearrange the kitchen. It's doomed. It's going down. You with me? It's condemned properly. And I judge my life, I repent, I judge my life in the light of the scandal of the cross. And I take my life and I put it in His hands that He might take me out of the condemned house, take me out of the darkness, the bounds of Satan, and put me in the house built on the rock. And see, I can't do nothing to do it. I just say, yes, Jesus, You're right, here I am, take me. And what do we do then? This is where baptism comes in. This is what we were talking about. So I'm baptized out of one body. I'm placed into death was the only way out of this body. So I'm baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, raised to walk in a newness of life. Guys, there's only two bodies in the earth. There's the body of the world that's energized by the lie and Satan, and there's the body of Christ called the church, which is in. I mean, so there ain't the other. There's no middle ground here. See, this guy here with the shadow, he didn't realize. He thought there could be some middle ground. No middle ground. But that's why in the body of Christ, you know, greater is He that is in you in this body. Yes. In this body that we are. And salvation is my acknowledging that this whole body over here is cursed. And I've been a part of that. And I'm seeing the love of God in Christ Jesus, and I'm placing myself into His hands for the power of Holy Spirit to do what? Rebirth me, regenerate me out of that body into this new body. Now once that happens, guys, through baptism, I have left this other world. Yet I'm still in it, but now I'm a pilgrim in it. I'm an alien. I'm a stranger. And I see the world for what it is. Empty. Vanity. Now it's the old man. And as I begin to see that, what happens? We live up against that. Two men here. Two kingdoms. Light and darkness. And right in the middle of that, we are the very presence of Jesus here in this world. We are His hand. Do you know how many times I hear on the radio, Let me pray for somebody. God, I hope God will reach down and touch. We want God to reach down and touch Kathy. We want God to reach down and touch Derek. Oh, God, reach down and touch him. If God is going to reach down and touch him, he's going to use your hands because you're the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yes.
We want God to touch somebody. You go lay hands on him because he's in you. You with me here? Stay with me. Jesus lives in rich lands in you. Yes. You want to find out where Jesus is in rich lands? Find the church. Because that's where he is. Jesus lives here, now, in us. So if that's the case, then I can't marvel that the world hates me. Remember, Jesus says, marvel not that the world hates you. I mean, he told them, don't be surprised. They hated me, they're going to hate you. Jesus says, in this world, you will have it great all the time. Guys, when you're in this world and you're part of the church, it'll be chocolate flowing strawberries. It'll be the Easter bunny flopping around. You'll never have a bad day. No worries. Money in the mail. All your bills paid. Y'all got that Bible? He says, in this world, guaranteed, you will have tribulation. I mean, he said it. Jesus said it. Why? Because God wants you to suffer? No, because the world hates you. And they heap all this mess on you all the time. It's coming to you in every form. Turn the radio on. Turn the radio on and just listen. You can hear your greatest song and be dancing a boogie going down the road. Man, that's a killer song, man. That's, whoo, man, Foreigner on the radio. Wow, that's cool. I'm listening, I'm singing. And then the next thing you know, school shooting. 5 dead. It's coming at you. You know? I just heard the other day, what is it? Dress Barn or something's closing all their stores down. Is that the name of a store?
Yes.
Yeah, Dress Barn. I don't know where I'm going to get my dresses. I'll have to go somewhere else.
Quietly.
Quietly. Yeah, thank God for discreet shipping. Yeah. But you see what I'm talking about? So you hear it, it's coming at you. Just to cause you to worry. Oh, Denise thought I was having a good day. I was having a good day, but Denise, I don't want you to have a real good day because I want to throw this out there to see if you can join in my worry. Listen to this storm. Sears, where are they at? We grew up on Sears catalog. Go. I want you to worry. I want you to worry. You see, it's coming at you, flooding you. In this world, you will have tribulation. You got placed inside a hostile environment. You got placed in somebody that the world hates you. And even my flesh is against me. Do you realize that me, the person of me, got saved, but my flesh is still awaiting resurrection? Do y'all realize that? My flesh still aches. My bones can still be broke. I still get hungry. I still get tired. I can still get diseases and 24-hour bugs and throw up. So and my flesh gets these stupid desires. Like, you need to slap them. Where did that come from? Well, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, does that ever happen? Or am I the only one? It happens to us. So I'm in this body and I'm saved. And my flesh is, man, just one right there. Yeah. Yeah. Do you hear? So I'm in this. I mean, it's tough. My flesh wants to act independently of God. Christ is my life, yet my mind and emotions, they're all in the process of being saved. I'm saved, yeah. But still look out, back me in a corner. Who knows? My proud mind wants to still think its own proud thoughts. I can't help it. I wish everybody knew what I knew. I'm so smart. You know? Why can't they get it? Proud, stupid mind. It does. And then when, sometimes, you know, when it really comes around, I'm like, God Almighty, I'm glad that ain't on tape. And some of it are on tape, I take down. Control your own website. My emotions respond to the environment around me. That's why I'm up one day and happy. I receive the seed with word. And the next day, my environment says, don't be happy, and I'm down. I'm up, I'm down in the valley. Right? Happy happenings. That's why I'm afraid. That's why I'm anxious. But listen, guys, that's not me. I'm free from all of that. I'm in Christ. And Christ is in me. I'm free from all of that. That's a great freedom, a great liberty if you can get there. My stupid flesh has been trying to be me the whole time. It's a warfare, guys. And listen, it's not a warfare against, well, the devil made me cut my face shaving this morning. You know, I could just like I was trying to shave, but the devil's like, no. What didn't happen that way. But in the church world, I've heard people get on there and say, the devil's in my guitar. Calls me to break a string. I'm like, I'd get another guitar. Yeah. Just get another. You know, I can just see us now gathering around the church laying a guitar out. We get Jeff and we just lay hands on the guitar and cast the demons out of the guitar. It's stupid. Where's your mind at? I mean, if it was that easy, guys, I mean, if it was a spirit of anger in you, we could just cast the spirit of out. I mean, do you think, see, we get these stupid movies in our mind, and if Jesus is going to cast out demons, he's got to go, the power of God, I cast out demon. Right? So we brought that over to the church because we believe the 1964 movie. Right? So we start thinking, this is how Jesus did it. Jesus would just come up and say, be gone. I mean, what did he do? Did he rise up and float across and say, peace be still? He just got up and said, peace be still. What the heck are you guys worried about? Why are y'all so much, and where's your faith at? Wake me up out of my sleep. I've worked all day. I'm tired. What the heck are y'all doing? Scolded them. Where's your faith at, old gang? I mean, why the heck are you waking me up? Told you I was going to the other side. They're going to bother me back there. I'm tired. I'm telling you, it's a scandal. I mean, if it was just a spirit of anger, can we just believe sometimes that maybe you're just hateful? Maybe it's just you. Might just be you. I mean, if it was a demon, we'd cast that thing out and move on. But maybe it's just you. It's a scandal. We don't want it. We're offended. I don't want the gospel to come in and penetrate and break me and mold me. I like who I am. I've spent 52 years working on it. Done a pretty good job. See, that flesh should be red. That flesh, I got to tell my flesh this all the time. You've been crucified. Every time that thing wants to rise up and I begin, I got to remind it, hey, big boy, you've been crucified. And then, guys, I find myself standing against everything the world stands for. Everything. I can't join myself with nothing. It's all stupid. Every bit of it, I can't sit there and say, well, this, that, oh, I go, it's all stupid. It's all death. It's all out from the line. And I find myself an enemy with everything. But I'm not afraid of the world. I'm not afraid to watch a movie. You know why? Because I'm a warrior. I follow a king who's a warrior. We're warriors, guys. We don't warfare like the others warfare. We warfare with prayer and with love and laying on the hands and the preaching of the word. That's how I war. I'm sowing seeds. How am I warring with all these stupid thistles out here? The thistles in my life, I'm going to dig them things up and sow new seed. I'm sowing a new seed. You with me? So here we are, 5 minutes, Jeff, and I promise I'll be done. All these latest fads, all these latest religious ideas, they're all dumped on me. The powers of darkness, they never bothered me before, but now they come on me. You guys remember a little book? It's right the last book of the Bible. It's called Revelation. Revelation chapter 13. Lord, here's some stupid doctrine. I'm not going to give you the stupid doctrine. I'm going to give you the right doctrine. Revelation 13, this world, this system is shown as this big ugly beast. Right? This world system. It's a big ugly beast. And this big ugly beast comes along and puts a mark in your forehead and a mark in your hand. It's a number of man, 666, he puts it there. It's the world system. It's a demand, and this world system demands worship. And we've been talking about worship. It means that you bow yourself down before the world system. Pay homage to it. And the people of that world carry the mark, 666. What is that mark, guys? It's humanism. It's humanism in your head, the way you think. It's humanism in your hand, the way you make friends, the way you do business. That's what it is. It's humanism. I'm going to do everything according to the world system. And if I don't do it according to the world system, you can't buy or sell. We don't want a company over here that looks after its people. We want a company that makes money. We'll talk about this money here next week. But isn't that how we do it? All we want is money. But there's another chapter. A chapter 14. Chapter 14 starts out, and I saw a lamb. What? There's another covenant of people. I saw a lamb, and a whole covenant of people live with the lamb in a new home called Mount Zion. This whole world system mark of the beast, and these people over here, they had another mark. They had the mark of the lamb. You've been marked.
Yeah.
You've been branded. We get all these lambs, and they're all branded. When you got baptized, you got branded. You got marked. That old mark was circumcision, but now there's a new mark in your heart. The heart has been circumcised. You've been marked, and it says you're not part of that anymore. That's why this over here hates you.
Yes.
The man in this parable, he had thought this thing through. He's got joy. He's got religion of feeling. His mind, his emotions haven't been regenerated. You ask this guy, tell me about your joy. His joy is, woo, I got saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. Woo. Got my ticket. I escaped hell. I'm saying, brother, you think that's the gospel? The gospel is you are now part of the people who are bringing heaven to earth. Yeah, you've been forgiven, but what? You've been taken out of that world and brought into a whole brand new one. And the scripture says when the Holy Spirit has come, you'll receive power. You'll receive power to be witnesses. And we think that means I got to go to Walmart and I got to tell everybody, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And you know Jesus? Everywhere I go, I got to go tell them. I got to be witnesses. I see them walking up and down the street with their little Bibles and their little cars. Do you know? Listen, that word there means martyr. When the Holy Spirit has come, you will then have the power to be martyred. You will then have the power to be killed on my behalf. That's a scandal. That's what the Bible says. What he says is by your life, by you being living epistles, you will demonstrate the gospel even if they kill you doing it. Today, people with no roots, you know, they left the church and went and started their own. That because they've taken the stumble, they've taken the scandal out of the gospel. They don't want it to be scandalous. They don't want it to offend. just make you a success. But I want to tell you something, guys. The world at any moment can rise up and eat you alive and kill you. It can come and take your house tomorrow. Take your cars right now. Fire you from your job. It can do it in a moment. That's the world we live in. We live in a little isolated pocket, guys, where everything is good, where you really think voting and you have a choice in all of this. But people all around the world, guys, they don't have that. They get caught being a Christian. They kill them. They kill the whole family. Cut the head off. Get put in jail for going to church for 20 years. Beaten every day. One little old girl I read about in that book, she become a Christian. She's like 16, 17 years old. Put her in jail and raped her every day for being a Christian. I mean, not just one time, multiple times every day. That's what it cost her to become a Christian. By God, we can't get people to come out to church here on a three-day weekend. 17-year-old girl in Iran's being raped 5-6 times a day because she believes in Jesus. See, it upsets me sometimes because of the scandal of the cross. It's serious business. We got nothing else. It's serious business. I'm telling you, in the last 100 years, there's been more martyrs in Christianity around the world than anywhere else. You don't see it because we live in America. We're all isolated. We're more worried about our 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 cars and our 4 or 5 and 6 cell phones and how many 9, 10, 11 TVs that we got. And these people are being raped and heads cut off for the gospel. Why do you think, I'm just going to close up, why do you think Paul rejoiced? Paul rejoiced when he got beat and thrown into Philippian jail because there was a joy there. You know why? Think of the honor. Because Paul just got put in the same boat with Jesus.
Yes, yes.
What an honor. They hate me like they hate Jesus. What an honor. And joy rose up out of him and he began to sing. He didn't make it up. He thought, my God, I'm counted worthy to suffer with Jesus. We try to fit in. I don't want to offend nobody. I don't want to offend nobody. The church icon is a teddy bear. Guys, it's a bloody cross.
Yes.
Bloody cross. And it's a scandal. And it's offensive. And it might just cost you your life. You will be offended. But guys, if you take the scandal out, there's no power. Because the gospel is, the word is, the power of God unto salvation. It's the power that comes in and changes me and molds me and joy by the church. God, I've watched it time and time again, and it's amazing how the church flourishes in persecution. But by God, we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. We just want to preach this little soft, I always think, salty and caramel gospel without offending somebody. We're not building disciples. We're trying to please everybody and keep them babes. We got one more week, guys, and I'll quit right there. I just want you to think about these things. Think about this stony ground. Let the scandal come in. Let it soak and percolate down inside of your heart. But in so doing that, guys, there's a great change comes. There's joy. A joy, that peace that passes understanding. Come on, Pat.